Welcome to The Leadership Line, a podcast that covers everyday work issues from dealing with jerks at work to feeling burnt out. Tammy and Scott's experience, along with their different perspectives, help listeners grow, examine realistic options and alternatives, and identify those actionable solutions to the tough issues we face every day at work.
Hi, Carmen.
and welcome, listeners, to the Become More Studios.
Woohoo!
So I've been thinking a lot lately about hiring, about some of the decisions and choices that you make as a hiring manager, especially if you're lucky enough to have people to choose from.
Choices, yeah.
Choices. And one of the choices that I've always struggled with when I'm hiring people is sometimes I have somebody that I know can do the job and I'm going to have to push them a little bit. They're going to need a little more oomph to like get their head around it and to really excel in this job. And conversely, sometimes the other person I have to choose from is somebody who is a little bit of a loose cannon. They can do the job, but I'm also probably going to be spending some time managing, reining them in a little bit, keeping them focused on the things that they need to be focused on and not, you know, off creating work for other people or for themselves that doesn't align with the job. So my question for you today is a would you rather? Would you rather hire somebody that you need to pull along a little bit or somebody that you have to rein in a little bit?
Are those my only two options?
Yep. Those are your two candidates.
Oh my gosh, Carmen. I mean, to be honest with you, the first thing I would tell you is neither one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in that space, honestly, both of those cause problems and chaos in the organization. And I know I'm not going to get a perfect candidate, but reining in or pushing, both of those require some leadership effort that, in all honesty, that's not how I would like to spend my time. Scott, what do you think?
If those are my choices and I have no other choices, I would look at, I think, the who do I have to nudge? If I have to rein in, that's the long game and I don't want to rein in forever and ever and ever. Versus if I just have to nudge to get someone going and I can get them to a spot where they're self-sufficient on the work, I don't have to worry about going out of bounds because they're only going to go to the line you set.
Okay. So it's funny that you say that because in all honesty, if I had to, like, and again, I'd rather not have these two choices, Carmen, but if you forced me, I would have gone to reining in because what I would do with that extra energy is I would then find another place where they could add value. So in this job, I need you to do that. And then all that extra energy and drive and, you know, capacity, then I am going to find another place that the organization could use that and put them on some kind of project where we can see value added. So I don't want to leave them for I'm like pulling the reins back all the time. I'm going to be like, hey, you have all this extra energy. You have all this, you know, creativity and innovation or whatever that thing is, the way that they are kind of wired. I would be like, all right, how can we bottle that and have it be something useful for the organization? Because nudging, they'll go and won't go any further, which means I just have to nudge them again. And that drives me even crazier. This other place, it's going to be more work for me to find this additional opportunity, but I would be constantly looking for additional opportunities so we can maximize their value.
Yeah. And I do like that perspective. What's funny is that is not where my brain went. Where my brain went was, we have to rein them in because they're doing what they want to do, not what we need them to do.
Yeah.
And even if you give them that, that's where my brain went, which isn't necessarily fair. That's not what Carmen said. That's just where my assumption went. And I was like, yeah, no, I have to rein that in. I want the other.
Well, what's so funny, Scott, is, you know, my first reaction, and you heard it, and Carmen, yeah, right? It was like, no, I don't want either one of these people. And then as I talked that through and gave it just a little bit of an airing, Scott, I actually started thinking about when I first met you. So Scott worked for a big organization, and Scott had more capacity, wanted to add more value, wanted to do more inside the organization, but the organization kept telling him no. And eventually, Scott, you left that organization because they did not use your potential. And I think if your bosses had tapped into that potential, one, the organization would have been more successful. And two, you might still be there. Now, it's to my advantage that you left, and totally to my advantage that I was coaching with you at that moment to say, let's use that capacity in another way. And you individually grew and found new skills and had new opportunities, all because I was like, let's use that capacity. And as your coach, we put that capacity to self-development, professional development.
So Scott, seeing yourself in this little scenario, does that change your answer?
No, honestly, I don't want to manage myself. I would manage myself if it's myself of today. If I'm myself of back there, hell no. I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, Scott was kind of a bit of a problem, Carmen. I mean, not just a little problem. He was a big problem. Remember, he's a maverick in Predictive Index. He's a maverick, and he's a really wide maverick. And if folks don't know what that is, we need to help them understand that, because Scott is rare air. Very few people are like him. But people like Scott and people, you know, like this person you're talking about reining in, they are not easy to manage. And it does require a different kind of leadership mindset. And if you don't have that mindset, you're right. They're going to cause chaos. They're going to get in other people's business. They're going to be off doing things that the organization doesn't need them or want them to do. And they stir the pot. And Scott had way too much time on his hand, way too much mental capacity. And he was bored. And when you're bored, you get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. What are some signs, if you're a manager, that somebody's bored?
Yeah, Scott. So you've had staff in that spot. What were the warning signs for you of boredom?
For me, I would say my warning sign was I'm getting my work done. I'm exploring other things. And those other things may or may not be the right things, but I'm exploring other things.
In the company, you mean?
Or outside? Not necessarily.
Maybe, so, maybe not.
Yeah. Think about the people that, and you guys have probably all seen this, right? The person that shops, the person that plays games, the person that doesn't sit at their desk and goes interrupts other people at work, the person who oftentimes is kind of like butting into other people's business. They have a hard time staying in their swim lane. Oftentimes, I think we see it as they have extra time on their hands, but sometimes as a boss, we don't see that because we're so busy. However, Scott, to be honest with you, if you go back to that, Scott, you were asking your leaders,
yes,
for more responsibility. You were asking for additional projects. And for whatever reason, and I don't want to put motivation on them, but for whatever reason, they weren't fulfilling that need. And I think that's what we as leaders have to really like listen for. When someone is like getting into other people's business or seems to have a lot of free time or they're asking, that's a clue that we need to stop being so busy, you know, this false busyness thing. And we need to take a little bit of time and say, what can I do to have this person be challenged and add value to the organization? Not busy work, right? Let's give them something that challenges them. Because if that person has more capacity, why aren't we supposed to utilize all the resources that we've been given?
Well, if we're responsible, we do.
Yeah, we would optimize them, right? Yeah. And yet many leaders don't take the time, because it takes them time to set these other folks up and to give them these other responsibilities and to open those doors. And I think sometimes we have this false busyness as a leader that we're not recognizing that it is our job to see where that capacity is. It is our job to take a minute and put something together. It is our job to say, what can we have this person do? Instead of just like, here's a task, here's a task, here's a task. Think bigger, think broader, think further out than that.
It's really the whole idea of progression planning and succession planning.
Yep.
Does that person have upward mobility, and how am I growing and developing that person for that upward mobility? And of course, as a leader, you have to do some assessment to say, well, are they meeting their requirements of their role?
Yes.
Are they getting good results? I wouldn't lay more responsibility or more things on someone who's maybe not performing where we need them to be. Well, they don't get to do new stuff just because they want to. Well, no, you have other stuff that you need to do over here.
That piece of can't do or won't do, if we have given them tasks and they're just bored because they don't want to do that work and they're ignoring that work, that's different. However, if they are getting their work done and have more capacity and are bored because they need to grow, they need to stretch, they need to go beyond what they've been doing, we have a responsibility as a leader to open those doors. And, you know, Carmen, to go back to your question, you know, this person, if they're driven, you don't teach drive. Drive is oftentimes just this person's ready. And sometimes it's, you know, it's not a person is driven or not driven for their whole life. Sometimes they're ready and that thing makes their engine rev. And it is, I think, our responsibility as an organization and as an individual leader to say, okay, I have a thoroughbred. How can I help them run instead of reining them back, which is what we oftentimes do because of our need, our busyness, our not having time, and instead turning that around and say, it's not about me as a leader, it's about this person on my team. Because when they can run, that's when they feel like they are truly making a difference. And that's what people want at work.
And I think then it's, again, we have this responsibility to do this. And then saying, what could I give them? So maybe they're not, maybe I can't give them a promotion. Maybe I can't, I know they're asking to do A, you know, hey, I want to lead this project or I want to do this project. But maybe it's not appropriate, or you know, maybe you don't want them to, whatever that is, what could you give them? And I think that's where people get, and I loved your work earlier, Tammy, it's where people get lazy. It's easier to just say, well, no, I just want you to do that for right now. And if you can't articulate why you want to throttle them back, because sometimes we do throttle people back.
Well,
we have two brand new people that we are throttling back.
And they are like rock star thoroughbreds, driven, ready to go. And we are throttling back so that they don't make unintentional mistakes. Our job is to prepare them so that they, you know, they aren't going to fall once they start running. And they are both chomping at the bit. Let us go, right? And we're both like, hold on, hold on, hold on. And in the end, they will be running. And then they're going to challenge us and they're going to be looking at us and say, give me more to do.
Yeah, they're going to look at us and say, hey, keep up.
Right. And then we're going to have to get our act together, because truly they're going to outpace us. And when that happens, we have to make sure that we are not reining them in because it makes us comfortable, but we are looking for what's possible. What could they do? How could they add value? What else? And that's going to make me uncomfortable, but it's the right thing to do for them. And it's the right thing to do for the organization as a whole.
And that wraps up this week's episode of The Leadership Line. As always, feel free to reach out to us in the emails provided in this podcast description box, and be sure to check out our upcoming episodes always announced on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.